Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
We are now at the Salt and Light, continuing amazing interviews with guests that are here. And we have, this is message number 9 coming to you from the Salt and Light. And we have Daniel Elkins with us. And Daniel is with the, as a matter of fact, he is the chief of staff for the Independence Fund. And when we get into our dialogue a little bit further, Daniel will explain some more about what the Independence Fund is. So we usually start the podcast, Daniel, by asking you to share a little bit about your faith and how you came to Christ, and then talk about your pathway that led you where you are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost an unbelievable story. I grew up in a Christian household, but my faith really became important to me in a very real way when I was in high school. And at that point in time, I was thinking and considering military service. I was considering going to the Naval Academy. When I became a Christian in a very strong and real way, I felt like God was leading me to serve Him in ministry. Yeah. So instead, I ended up going to Bible school. And then I was a missionary overseas for 6 years.
Where did you go to Bible school?
So I went to the University of the Nations. It's affiliated with a non-denominational organization called YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission.
Where's that located?
So they have satellite schools around the world. Okay. Their main campus is based in Kona, Hawaii. And I ended up actually going to Arkansas, though. In the Fayetteville area. And then I worked overseas for about 6 years in about 16 different countries: Colombia, Peru, Brazil, Nigeria, Cameroon, South Africa, Mozambique, England, Egypt, just to name a few.
What were you doing there?
Yeah, we were doing ministry. We were doing anti-human trafficking, and we were taking young people on short-term missions trips to expose them to things internationally. And after about 6 years, I felt like I was supposed to come back stateside, and I became a pastor. I started off as a youth pastor.
Did you?
And then I became a teaching pastor. And then I helped plant 2 churches.
Wow.
And it was during the second church plant that the Lord really started to change the direction, the trajectory of my life. At that point in time, I was 27, and I thought that I was going to be in vocational ministry for my entire life. And I really felt strongly led to go into the military and go into special forces.
Okay.
So it was such a major shift that, you know, it took me some time. It took me some divine appointments and some confirmations. But 6 months later, I signed the paperwork. And long story short, I became a Green Beret.
Wow. So, I was just going to say, audience, he looks like a Green Beret.
Yes, he does. And may I say thank you for your service.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Absolutely. Yeah. So I have been in the military now for about 13 years. The whole time has been in the National Guard, and my civilian job has always been in advocacy and within the veteran community. So I started many, many years ago, 2010, at the Veterans of Foreign Wars, based out of DC, and continued to move through the organizations in DC that really represent veterans Eventually that led me to this amazing position for this amazing organization called the Independence Fund, independencefund.org. And the Independence Fund is a veteran nonprofit that provides independence to the most catastrophically wounded of the last 20 years and other eras of veteran service. Catastrophically wounded, think, you know, double, triple, quadruple amputees. And the way we do that is through amazing donors like yourself to provide adaptive mobility programs, which our most popular and most important program has been our track chair presentation. And we're actually going to be doing one of those today. So for many of you who don't know what a track chair is, think of a normal wheelchair. Except the wheelchair has tank treads.
Off-road vehicle.
So the service member or the veteran actually is supported to gain mobility and independence that they didn't have previously. They can go outside. They can go in their yard. They can go to the beach. They can go to the shooting range. They can go on hikes. And it really just increases the quality of life in a major way. And we're blessed, you know. Track chairs provide greater mobility and independence for the wounded and disabled military personnel. And it really allows them to enjoy access to the outdoors in their backyard, the beach, and the woods. And that's what we're here to do.
Great. Fantastic. Now, would you mind sharing with us, and you don't have to be to the penny, but could you give us an idea of what one of these costs?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. The average track chair costs around $16,000.
Wow.
It can be more expensive depending upon what is necessary to really assist the veteran. We have to date ordered 2,620. We have provided that many chairs to wounded service members and veterans in need. And it's super powerful. It's so fulfilling. And there's a surprise today. You know, the people don't know here at this event that we're going to be presenting a chair. The veteran is going to be on their way here in about an hour. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an amazing surprise. And very much look forward to the presentation in a few hours.
So how does someone get selected to be a recipient? Such a blessing.
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you go to independencefund.org on our website, you know, there's a way you can connect and you can apply. It really is those who apply or need, or we find out from another person that there's a service member that greatly needs some help for mobility. And then we just add them to our list.
Now, do you do fundraising of different kinds? Or
absolutely, yeah. Our work with the track chair giveaways is only possible through generous donations of others, as this event exemplifies that. You know, we are a 501c3 veteran charity. Your donation is tax deductible. We pride ourselves on maximizing every dollar donated to go back into the programs that we support for our veterans.
Wow. So if one of our listeners wants to make a contribution, how do they go about doing that?
Absolutely. You should go to independencefund.org, and there's a donate now link there. We accept all major credit cards. You can do a bank transfer, we're happy to assist you if you have any issues. I wanted to give your listeners my phone number. If anyone is interested in joining, volunteering, or wants to get involved, I would love to talk with you. My phone number is 301-741-0317. So please feel free to reach out if you're interested. If the Lord leads you to get involved in this amazing charity, we would absolutely love to connect.
You mentioned earlier that you were involved with the embassy in Kyiv.
Yes.
So was it
How did that
was
come
it military about? Responsibility? Were you providing security? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was during my last deployment in 2019 and 20. I worked out of the embassy as the special operation liaison element there. where I help facilitate and coordinate special operations in country, and worked with the defense attaché, the ambassador, and other stakeholders in our NATO allies. And I developed a deep love and of the Ukrainian people. And this past year, I have been back twice. For about 30 days in April and May. And then last month I went back for a week, and I'm going to be going back again for about 10 days at the end of the month.
Wow. Wow. Now, let me ask you this. When I was 15, 16 years old, mm-hmm. there was a song that came out. Okay. It was called The Ballad of the Green Beret. Yeah. The Ballad of the by Barry Staff Sergeant Barry Sapp.
Amazing song.
Yes, a great song. And it went right up the pop charts and everything, a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Point. But it encapsulated the story of a Green Beret. So in your experience as a Green Beret, tell us a little bit about, if you can, I don't know, don't want you to get any classified stuff, but tell us a little bit about how the training goes and how rigorous it is, and why should a young man consider that kind of training?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that's very unique to this particular branch of the special operations community is our motto, "De oppresso libere," and it means to free the oppressed. So unlike other organizations in the special operations community, we work by, with, and through, and primarily do that through developing relationships and working with indigenous populations. So we go to other countries and we live, work, sleep with their military, and we help train and assist them. And, you know, I think for young people who are listening that are interested in serving in the military, you know, I have been provided with the most advanced training that I could have ever imagined. I've been put in positions of authority and influence that someone my age typically wouldn't have, and have been entrusted with significant amounts of responsibility from the U.S. government. And it's been an honor to serve. It's been challenging. It definitely comes at a sacrifice, specifically sometimes for the family. But I believe that it's all worth it. And I love this country, and I love the Constitution, and it's my way to serve.
Amen. Well, I just want to hug you and just say,
yeah, that's right.
You know, thank you.
Thank you.
For being a patriot, standing yes. up and be willing to make sacrifices
for
our nation. Not only that, but also the mission that you're on now, serving those who have been wounded or need help from their service to protect this great patriotic country.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
On a different note.
Yeah.
I have to tell you how bitterly disappointed I am with a general named General Milley.
Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, I believe the man is treasonous and should be removed. Now, I don't expect you to comment on that necessarily, but what I'm really looking for is, how do you feel about the military as it is today? Is it ready? Is it ready to defend us? Are they getting the same kind of quality training? Because I know Green Berets go into more rigorous kind of training than what the normal recruit does. I get that. But do you feel that we're okay? We're still in good shape?
Yeah, you know, I have deep respect for all of the leaders on the Joint Chiefs and all of our military leaders, including General Milley. I believe that they have prepared our military for the emerging threats that we are dealing with now, like China, Iran, Russia, North Korea, and Venezuela. I have, access to information and data that most people don't have and have seen behind the scenes. And, you know, what makes it to the press and the media is not always the 100% truth. And unfortunately, there are some people who have to stand in the gap and take the the undue good lack of goodwill because for the greater good to serve our country. And you know, it can be very, very difficult because how things get spun sometimes often aren't a reflection of what really went and took place. But that's how it is. And I firmly believe that our nation's warfighters right now are equipped to defend this country from any adversary that would choose to try and attack.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
For making me feel more comfortable.
100%.
Because I have had my doubts as of late, but and from hearing it from a guy like you,
and that makes complete sense, you know. And I think that you know, it's important to understand, you know, like the emerging threat situation changes on a day-to-day basis. But you know, last night, you know, the special operations community was involved in, you know, many different capacities nationwide in training exercises and around the world. And I am proud to wear the uniform, and I'm going to keep wearing it until they tell me to take it off.
Well, you know, I just got to say that, you know, I've taught many classes in Ukraine over the last 5 and 6 years. Mm. And my translator worked for Ukrainian forces as a translator, conducting NATO training exercises. Mm-hmm. So EU was coming in, and he was translating for them. So I think the orcs were surprised at how well-trained Ukrainian forces were. And that's because of the training that was taking place year after year after year.
And I think that's a great example. You know, like, I think it's important for your listeners to understand that, you know, the United States and the special operations community has been in Ukraine for the last several years, helping equip and train and advise. And I firmly believe the reason that they have been as successful as they have been is because of our support of them over the last several years and the assistance that we're giving them currently.
Yes, absolutely. So in your journey, is there a aha moment?
Yeah, I think the most significant aha moment that I had happened many, many years ago when I was overseas as a missionary, and I was in a very unfortunate situation where there were some Muslim extremists that unfortunately committed violence against the people who we were working with to help and to bring to the Lord. And, you know, that lesson taught me that there are some people who, you know, unfortunately are not open to prayer or to kindness and love. But everyone speaks a universal language of violence and aggression. And I think Isaiah, you know, send me. Those that are willing to stand in the gap and to sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of others, are greatly needed. And that's ultimately what led me to the military.
Yeah. Wow, that is super. And that is a testimony that we cherish, and we will be proud to have that on our website and put up as a podcast. So, Daniel, one more time, would you let the listeners know how they can contact you and or your organization?
100%. Please feel free to reach out if you want to get involved in the Independence Fund. You can go to independencefund.org. You could also give me a call, 301-741-0317. And we really appreciate your support.
Thank you. And again, thank you for your service. And God bless you and your organization, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. And to our listeners, continue tuning in to our podcast as we continue the messages from the Salt and Light Conference here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death?
The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.